Hey, everyone. It is Friday, May 17th, 2024. Welcome to the Midwest Super Pixel Pros. I'm Dale, joined alongside producer Paul, who's currently in the production booth. He'll be with us momentarily. And returning to the show, I'll give him the old drum roll treatment, my brother Joe. Welcome back.
Hey.
Thanks for coming in, man. I've got some old school classics on store for today here, so I'm very excited to get to them here. Before we get to them, though, we got to make sure to give a shout-out to our first sponsor for the show today, River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill. Hey, it's Friday. It's the weekend. Make them your dinner and a movie destination in the mall in East Grand Forks. I know I went there just the other day. Took mom to a movie.
So, oh, nice. What movie?
Yeah, we saw Unsung Heroes. She's like, Dale, we got to see a family movie. So, yeah, went and saw that. And, belated Mother's Day gift.
There you go.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, it was a great time there. You can either dine inside the movie memorabilia-packed restaurant, The Shire, or take your meal to go to the movie you're attending. Some of this week's featured attractions are, well, I already said Unsung Heroes, but also Kung Fu Panda 4, Back to Black, Tarot, and The Strangers, Chapter 1. There's so many movies I want to see. I got a huge backlog. You can find the listings online, see all the showtimes on their website, rivercinema15.com. Don't forget about their awesome specials they have each week, too. Tuesday, $5 movies all day long. Every Wednesday and Thursday, for all you seniors, $5.50 senior matinees. So there you go. Can't go wrong. And you've seen the video behind me. River Cinema has luxury recliners and expanded concessions. And hey, best of all, family-owned and operated. Check them out, River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have been keeping a keen ear to the video game industry news this past week. It's been like a kind of a breaking like year for the video games this past several months. The theme has been kind of like people think like the video game industry is in real bad shape. There's been a lot of studios getting shut down by publishers or just going out of business altogether. A lot of crazy dealings since our last show. A few more studios were shuttered down. So Take-Two, they're kind of like the main owner and operator of Rockstar Games and 2K Games. They shut down a couple of their studios. They shut down Roll 7. They're the main developer behind Ollie Ollie 2, awesome like skateboarding platformer game, and Rollerdrome. It was like kind of like a living think PUBG on rollerblades, almost. Sure. Not quite that far, but...
I know what you mean. There's even a game on Xbox, actually, that was very similar to that, and it was great, but it was too early for its time, because, like, the controls, nobody understood, like, hey, it's super in-depth for the controls, it's super in-depth for this, and...
But I guess maybe those games must have underperformed, but they Take-Two released a statement saying, hey, we're just restructuring our studios. We want to make sure that they just kind of like in full of all business speak and legalese, saying we want to restructure for what's best for our investors so we can have the best years ahead. And then they shut down one other studio. Intercept Games. They were the primary developer behind Kerbal Space Program 2. The first Kerbal Space Program, great kind of spaceship simulator, huge on computer. And the second one didn't even leave early access, though. Take-Two says they are still committed to finishing it, just maybe, I presumably, be assigned a new developer. And then also, Microsoft, they shut down. They announced a couple studios. So this is huge. Do you guys remember a few years ago, Microsoft acquiring or... I think they disguised it as a merger, but technically they bought them out and they just kind of joined forces. Bethesda yep. Game Studios. So they shut down, and when they acquired them, they acquired like 7 or 8 developers. Well, I guess a couple of those games released from some of those developers, and they just didn't pan out as well as Microsoft was hoping, so they shuttered them. So Microsoft announced they have closed Tango Gameworks, which released Hi-Fi Rush last year on Game Pass. You can play this on Game Pass. It was actually a really well-received game. Critically well received, and they just re-released it or are about to re-release it on PlayStation 5 and I believe Switch also. And it was very, very well regarded last year. So that one was kind of a surprise. The gaming press world was kind of scratching their heads at the announcement of that studio closure. And then finally, this other one, maybe not as much of a surprise, Arcane Austin. They made a year and a half back, they released Redfall, and that game was all kinds of buggy and glitchy coming out of the gates. A lot of complaints. I know Arcane, they committed to patch and updating the game to get it back up to snuff here. From what I understand, people who've played it more recently said the game's in a lot better shape. But that first, you only get to make a first impression once, and the primary game base, more often than not, they usually play a game the first month it's out, and a lot of people just the player base never was able to recover from that first month. So, but they have also Arkane Austin. They are way more better regarded for their release of Prey from like 5 or 6 years ago. Not the Xbox 360 version of Prey, the Xbox One and PS4 version of Prey. And yeah, people loved that game. So people were pretty up in arms about that game getting announced. But so unfortunate news there. On a brighter note, Nintendo, a lot of people have been kind of speculating on this that, hey, it's been 2017 since the Switch came out. We're about due for our new Nintendo console. But Nintendo never officially said we are even working on one. They haven't announced a new name, but finally, buried in like in a post on X, one of the Nintendo executives said, yes, we are working on a new console. The follow-up to the Switch will be announced within the next year. So they announced the announcement. So, guys, think you're ready to... fans of the Switch, looking forward to follow-up?
I never really played it.
Yeah, me either. It was actually, that's the joke.
Well, we've played it on the show here enough times over the last few years.
Yeah, I think it's a cool concept, but I know my daughter has one, but, you know, if I'm playing a game, I want to play it on the big screen. I'm not really a handheld.
I got you.
I generally agree, and that's why, because, like, I remember, Dale, that, well, technically, if I remember right, you can convert it to the big screen, because, like, didn't you do that for the Zelda game, Dale, Windbreaker or whatever?
No, it's so cool. The Switch is all, they got the dock, you drop the handheld unit in the dock, and the game will pop up instantly on the TV, but say, all of a sudden, nature calls, or like, oh, no, I just want to play in the bedroom before going to bed for a little bit, I'm going to undock it, and you know, you got the controller attachments on the side, you get to take it and pick up instantly right where you left off and play it in bed, or say, you know your significant other or another family member wants to control the TV, you just go off, play it wherever else, or just on the road like a Game Boy. It works great that way. It's like both a console and like a handheld at the same time.
I'm kind of with Paul though. It's like generally it's a I don't have a lot of free time, mm-hmm. and when I have free time, I want it to be on a big screen. And the other unfortunate part is like how you mentioned, like the controllers are on the sides, and you can remove them and all that stuff.
Well, they have traditional controllers for the Switch also, which I really love.
And that's what I was getting to is like those controllers, because one of my coworkers has it, and I messed around with it for a while, and then they're like, "Oh, and take them off and do this and that," and I'm like, "No, these could like so basically I have to buy a lot of accessories," mm-hmm. and I was like not a fan of that.
Mm. Right. No, accessories, you know, they do take a toll. You know, you got to get all the controllers, all your memory cards, and whatever other funky accessories you want to get the complete experience.
I think they did do a good job of, you know, not trying to compete with PlayStation and Xbox, though, and going a totally separate route and making it a lot more versatile.
Yeah. Like they picked their own lane. And sometimes they do have some of those crossover games from the PS4, PS5, and the Xbox, latest Xbox system. But for the most part, it's like, a lot of people go there for the tried and true Nintendo games, or other publishers will make more family-oriented games or games more appealing towards broader audiences on the Switch.
Yeah, and I can agree with that because, like, well, for one, it's like you probably remember the joke of, like, Pokemon. I think it was Blue or Red.
Oh, right.
The joke is when Dale got this game, he played it for a little bit, and then I played it, and then he just never saw it again.
No, yeah, that was... I think I was just a year or two old, maybe a couple years too old for the Pokemon craze to really affect me, and I was just like, oh, here's like another Final Fantasy-type RPG, which those Pokemon games are. And I played it for a couple hours, and I think you kind of hovered over my shoulder one day, and you were the prime Pokemon age demographic at the time, and you're like, oh, this is the game all the kids are talking about at school, and you had your own Game Boy. You're like, oh, can I borrow this? And I was like, sure. And I never saw that game. Like 10 years later... You're like, Dale, here's that Pokemon game you borrowed me. And by the way, it's like, oh, thanks.
You have every Pokemon. Everything's been completed.
It's all unlocked.
Yep. And it was, and that's even the weird thing about Pokemon. Because, like, Pokemon Go, it was a huge debate when it came out. They didn't have, like, licensing rights. They didn't have it. And I'm like, how the heck did you even be able to release a game if you don't have any of the rights? And then, oddly enough, because they, in the beginning, I was living in Tracy, Minnesota. So, it was very lame because it was, you know, like no Pokestops, none of this, none of that. Because, like, are you a fan of Pokemon at all, Paul?
No, I was too old for that. I do remember when Pokemon Go came out, though, that it was also around the same time that Gran Torino came out. And everybody was saying, to all the Pokemon Go players, get off my lawn.
Oh, right.
Yeah, Pokemon Go kind of took over the world there for like a hot year, year and a half.
Oh, yeah. And so basically Pokemon, it's odd because like if you watch the show, it makes a lot more sense because, again, via age demographic, I ended up watching it, right? Just like DBZ and...
Yeah, I was a Dragon Ball guy.
And Dragon Ball Z is it's weird because like Pokemon is its own version of that. The oddest, simplistic idea of Pokemon is like, hey, do you like cats and do you like dogs? Do you like pets? Here's a really weird version of all these pets. Like, because like most people, when they have pets, they have again like cats and dogs.
Joe, I got a feeling we could go down a Pokemon hole here. We may have to do a future episode.
It'll be a minute. So basically, with that being said, some people have ferrets for pets. Some people have fish, some people have this and that, and like that's what it incorporates.
Yeah,
there you go. Well, I know maybe on a future episode we'll get you on. We'll do a Pokemon episode. Bring on a couple of your favorite Pokemon games.
I can talk hours.
Yeah, I know. We'll bring in some other I know. I think we got some other big Pokemon people who grew up with it here in the studio. But I got one last news bit. I was going to bring this up on Dirty Thursday another GFBS show here the other day, but I completely forgot. But I got it noted here. Obviously, you're at Grand Forks Best Source, huge dirt racing fan base here. Dirty Thursday. Couple years ago, we played it here on the show also. I believe John Roberts was actually a guest on that episode. The World of Outlaws dirt racing game that released a couple years ago, developed by Monster Games. Very well received, regarded as one of the best dirt racing video games out there over the years. Well, the developer and the publisher, iRacing, they just announced a follow-up sequel coming out this September, World of Outlaws Dirt Racing 2024. It's going to have more tracks, more drivers, tweaked gameplay, and you know, our North Dakota's very own Donnie Schatz, 10-time World of Outlaws champion. He's going to be the cover athlete, and he's also going to have a big mode in the game where he's like your mentor. So if you play the career mode, he's going to be your mentor. He's going to take you through a driving school, and you're kind of going to be trying to – the whole objective of the career mode is to match and maybe even usurp his 10 national titles record. So
this is why he owns a jet.
Yes.
Right.
Huge.
And it's – yep.
Huge news for just an awesome North Dakota athlete. So big ups to Donnie Schatz for landing the cover star gig there for World of Outlaws 2024. And that's just a few months out in September. So, yes.
Very cool.
All right. Well, today's show, again, we want to hear what you people have to say. If you got any other comments or questions on those news stories, you want to hear what you have to say, comment in the live chat here on the GFBS channels on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook. We want to hear what you guys have to say. If you don't respond to you, we'll make sure to react next week. I know some people had some great comments on our last show a couple weeks ago when we were talking all about when Raven was on and we're playing SSX. People were also echoing, oh, SSX, I loved it. So that was great interacting with them there. So yeah, hear what you guys have to say. Today, though, we're going old school, even older than original Xbox. We're going Super Nintendo, 16-bit days. So I brought into this like a random bag of games. I brought in the analog ST, the kind of new and improved Super Nintendo redesign, optimized for HDMI, HD television sets. Works great with our streaming software. We used it once or twice in the past. Brought a dozen games, and we all picked a couple each. Paul, I will throw to you to set up the first game we're playing.
Oh, yeah. What was it? The
Lost Vikings?
Yeah, Lost Vikings. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure this is the game that I remember. But, yeah, you basically have three little dwarf Viking characters, and it's kind of like a puzzle game. You have one that will try to, like, open doors. You have another one that will, try to, like, fight off whatever is coming at you, and then another one that
More balanced, can do a little bit of both.
Yeah, something along those lines. But I do remember this game being a lot of fun.
Okay,
if it's the one I'm thinking of.
I know I played, you know, Derek's been on the show before. I played the original with him. There are two of them on Super Nintendo. I got the first one. I know one of them you could play with up to three players. I do have the multi-tap hooked up, so if this is the right one, we may be able to do this three-player, but if not, it'll be two-player. I'm sure we can work out a rotation here.
Totally.
So.
And you know what's even funny? When you described that game, it made me think of a very cool classic game, Maniac Mansion.
Oh, yeah.
Game, you could, because everyone kind of similar, like, there's like a kind of like Imagine Stranger Things, but like four kids or five, I forget what it is. But you switch off between kids because like you're in a mansion that you're trying to escape. And it's just like, wait, why is this so weird? Why is this people get trapped somewhere and now you can't use them, and then you have to use another one to figure out part of the mansion and like unlock things. And
that was a super fun game.
Yeah, I never beat that game, but I have countless hours.
Yeah, and this one I'm pretty sure, you know, too, it was like, you know, you could play with the three players, but it's kind of like a, you know, if you're going to like the Lord of the Rings thing, but you're each your own character, which is kind of fun to be. I mean, you know, so you got probably the guy with the, you know, the axe with the two sides, and then you got another one that, you know, has some, but you're each your own kind of like individual character, which makes it, you know, a little bit more fun as far as.
Well, I believe we're ready to throw to it. If we want to switch to it here, we'll get the game rolling. I just got a run cartridge here on the Analog ST. And yeah, love the Analog ST. Analog, they make fantastic products. We've done their version of the Nintendo and the Game Boy with the Pocket on the show. The TurboGrafx version here. This came out in 92. I think this is only two players. So I think the multi-tap for the Super Nintendo didn't really hit until 93. So Silicon and Synapse, you know who that later rebranded as the developer of this game. That was a first name for the developer of Blizzard, the people that wanted to make Warcraft, Starcraft. So, yeah.
Whenever I hear Blizzard, the first thing that comes to mind is that arcade game where you could be like the gorilla or the raptor, or it was a fighting game.
Never mind. I was thinking of Rampage.
Rampage? Yeah.
No, it wasn't Rampage.
No, I know what he's talking about. I cannot think of the name.
Yeah, it would have like the different kind of like, kind of like Godzilla-ish type of creatures, but it was a fighting game.
Basically, think of like Street Fighter, but like not humans.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, gotcha. You had the raptor, the velociraptor, you had the monkey, you had...
It started with a C, I believe.
For what system was it again?
It was in the arcades.
Arcades, okay, yeah.
And then it came out on the systems.
You know,
Primal Rage.
There we go, Primal Rage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a weirdly, because again, it was like, because even in the sense of DBZ, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you think of like Street Fighter, you think of this and that. A lot of those games are their own articulation of that, essentially. Mm-hmm. DBZ just had a weirdly good storyline. Because it was all about the sagas. Like my favorite is the Android Saga.
Oh, yeah. Right. By far, Paul,
I will throw it to you. Yep. You are starting off. There was a little introductory cutscene. I kind of just kind of skipped right to the action there. So you are on the bottom there, and I think other ones join the fray here in a little bit. Or let me see if this guy joins. Maybe.
I don't think this is the game I was thinking of.
Oh, okay.
Let me see. How do I attack? No, because the one I was thinking of was more of like a puzzle game, kind of like Gauntlet.
And actually, that's a funny thing. I wasn't trying to interrupt earlier, but I was like, this game looks a lot like Gauntlet, and then it's...
No. Well, obviously Gauntlet had like the overhead, top-down view.
What I meant is, sorry, from the first like intro screen, so how it had like the three there we guys.
Go. Now I switched. Oh, okay. I gotta go. Oh no!
So yeah, I think you could tag out to the other Vikings, and yeah, like you see there, one's more hack and slash, one has the arrow.
Oh yeah,
more
so this guy can't jump.
Oh, okay.
So he can only slice and shoot arrows.
Mm.
Then if I switch to this, now I got this guy with a shield, and he can just block stuff.
So I got to block, move on past this one. Maybe a ricochet. Well,
maybe this was the game. Yeah, because that was the puzzle. Because now you got to figure out how to get each guy to each part of the level. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe I need to. Yep. So yeah, this is that's right. So now I got the guy that's blocking it, so I can get this guy over here, and then we'll get him up here. I think
a little bit of teamwork.
Yeah. So it's kind of like a team game, and then you rotate to this guy, but he can't jump.
So you got to find a way to, like, lower a platform down to him to maybe get around that workaround.
And then so I can't do that. So, maybe I can.
So that's kind of blocking the laser fire for coming at the Vikings. So that gives you time for the other two to kind of work together.
Well, for example, the guy at the shield, couldn't you move him back a little bit more and then basically just hop down, shoot, go back up, shoot?
There's got to be someplace else I'm supposed to go here.
Oh, there's a little question mark, so...
You can get hints.
Okay, thanks, Block.
And the funny thing is...
Exit to escape. Okay.
Oh, okay. LR button instantly switches. That'll make it nice.
Well, is this the exit?
Yep, but all three of you got to get there.
Oh, so that thing is just there to be like a deterrent. You don't really have to deal with it.
But now, you got to think maybe get all your find all your characters.
Yep, get all three characters there. So now that you got those two there, will you be able to get down with him and bada bing, bada boom, as they say?
What are we doing here? I don't know.
What do you want? A story? No, next level. All right.
All right. Who's next?
All right. I'll give it a shot here. Oh, yeah. This is the age of the passwords. Yeah. All right. So, guess to select an item, press select, then move your flashing box over the item, press select to exit. To use a selected item, press X. Okay. Oh, so I guess I got to get that. Press A to push buttons to flip switches and talk to other characters. Oh, boy.
See, this is one of the games as a kid that like you just did not understand because it's too complicated. But as an adult, you're like, oh, I can play this.
You must destroy the ship's computer. This is not a ship. What is a computer? We're just Vikings. Yeah, the Vikings are in the space age now. They're sci-fi.
Yep.
Got to blow up the ship. Okay.
Yeah, it's cool because this is like a puzzle game. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to use your teamwork.
Yep.
All right, moving along. Oh, there's the evil. I don't know. If, oh.
Oh. So get him on the ladder. Jump on the ladder.
Oh. Jump-a-roo.
And then stay in the middle. Now switch guys with your right trigger.
Okay.
All right. And then his other button can shoot bow and arrows.
Oh, shoot. Okay. There we go. Ah. Leave my friend alone. Oh, nice little tombstone. All right.
I think there was another one, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. I think there was one more up high. Booyah. Look at that. Good teamwork. Have you guys ever played a game called Trine? Get these bombs. Nope. That's like a mod. There's five of them that came out across the PS3, PS4, PS5, and Xbox equivalents. That's kind of regarded as the modern-day version of Lost Vikings, where you have three characters that all work together, much like this.
Nice.
Puzzle and combat-based.
Dan, what game did you just say?
Trine. There's five of them across like all systems. Oh, that guy just died out of nowhere.
Yeah, what'd you do there?
I don't know. I just hit a button.
Well, good thing it's recorded. You can go back and watch.
Yes. Oh. So, how do you resurrect him?
I don't think you can.
Oh, no.
I would assume at the end of the level, next level, he probably just respawns then.
Yeah, maybe. Oh, so I gotta figure out how to deactivate that. Oh. Oh, the Fierce is. He can use his arrows to toggle switches. Oh, okay. Well, I think I was supposed to. That guy that just died.
Uh oh.
I was supposed to.
Well, there's gotta be a way to resurrect him, otherwise, you're not gonna be able to pass the level.
Yeah.
What button do you press to switch characters?
Right trigger.
Press it twice, or like double triple tap it. Sometimes the games they made you do that type of stuff.
Let's see here.
Or if you press start, you might be able to do like restart level, if that makes sense.
Oh, or maybe you just got to kill them all.
Yeah, that too. Because like back then, I mean, to be fair, back then, like in the coding, they didn't really have a lot of options. If that makes sense. It was like, this is what we want to do, but there's no way to do it because it's never been done. And then next thing you know. Because that's actually a...
Can you move one of those to the next box to where your other character is?
That's what I'm trying to think here. It'll just only let me drop it, I'm guessing, with that recycle can.
I don't know. I think we get the gist of this game. We can move on.
Yeah, but yeah, that's Lost Vikings. Yeah, it's actually a bit more elaborate, but you got a good taste of what it's all about there. So...
Oh, yeah.
Lost Vikings. What game would you guys like to play next? Joe?
Up to you.
I know you were curious on that, on a certain...
Undercover Cops.
Undercover Cops. Is that a shot? I think that's like a... So yeah, this is a recently reissued game. Only exclusive to Japan for a while, but... I think people who've watched the show plenty of times know that... We like our beat 'em ups. We love our brawlers, Streets of Rage, Double Dragon, Final Fight, those type games. So, yeah, we're going to play that next here. And, boom.
You know, it makes me think of a game. I actually have to Google it because it's a silly movie. Woof to
80-2043. This is what the future is going to be like in 19 years, guys. Gentlemen,
what is this?
Undercover cops. So, gentlemen, our city is experiencing a crime wave of unprecedented magnitude. As such, I've decided to call in the city sweepers. In the interest of time, we will skip to the action. So, yeah, this is just a few years ago they re-released this year. So, I'll see what we got going on here. All right. Yeah. Two players. Yeah, this is... Yep. All right. I have no idea what the wow box is. We'll let it be a mystery. All right. All right. I believe this is a two-player game, if I saw the options there. So, Joe or Paul, you want to hit start on your controller?
Oh. Mine doesn't work.
Oh, wait. Maybe I got to select first. All right, now can Joe or Paul pick one? Or maybe you can hit start during the game. It said two-player.
Press and start, but...
Oh, okay, we'll give it a sec here once the game kicks in. All right, Paul, Joe, you hit start?
No, mine's not working.
Mine's not doing anything right. Either, Dale.
Try now.
Nope.
No. Sometimes it depends on the port... With the console you're using, maybe on regular Super Nintendo it works.
Okay. Here, why don't you guys, Paul, Joe, why don't one of you guys start here? I pause it here, and I'll do, let me try something here while you guys go to town.
Ah, that's the movie I was thinking of was Kung Fury. That's one of the best brawler games I've ever played in my life, and also a really weird movie that they're making a sequel to. You ever see Kung Fury, Dale?
What's his name?
Kung Fury?
I've heard of it.
It is one of the wildest, weirdest movies that you'll ever see, because it's only like 40 minutes long. But they have a reference towards the Power Glove that you'd appreciate.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
He's got some wicked fast legs. Oh, I think that takes away life when I do that.
Could be like the Chung Li thing from.
That takes away life. Yeah. So
it's like the Punisher from Genesis. It's if you use your special move.
The special move takes away life.
Yeah, right? And it's situational because it's like, but it was so cool. Oh, dang.
Oh, okay.
That is okay.
So how do I get life back?
Right. Maybe that thing to your left there. Oh, no. That's not a box. That's a little pillar or whatever.
Can you pick stuff up? No, it doesn't look like it.
Oh, maybe. Are those crows?
Maybe I was supposed to. Oh, wait. I got life back. What happened there? I don't know how I did it.
Bill, you want to hand me the box? Maybe there's some
that's
directions.
That's what I was looking there for. Just a good old manual reference there. Oh, you know, I take it back. Guess on the back of the box. This seems like an optimal two-player game. It's literally just one player.
So. Oh, okay.
Yeah, how about that?
Oh, he's got a baseball bat.
Oh,
I died, so yeah, we'll give it to one of you guys next.
Joe, you want to give it a shot? Oh, there's all kinds of button combination moves. Holy crap. There's a diverse move set here.
Honestly, the game looks pretty legit for just coming out.
Oh, this guy's messing me up, and he's laughing at me.
Yep.
So it looks like he could do like a Sagat aerial knee attack. Dash, I'm guessing that's double tap the direction towards your opponent, and then press B and
Y. Okay.
Like Street Fighter type inputs I'm seeing here. Like, so dash, then B and Y, double tap direction towards them to dash. Then jump kick, B, the direction towards the opponent, and then Y. Y button four times in a row is a kabuto chop combo.
You want to go to Joe's camera?
Oh, yep, there we go.
Oh, you're a chick now.
I think it changed characters when you died, or I had the ability to. And, oh.
You can even
the world? Nope.
If you press B button down, then towards and Y at the same time, that's like...
That was what I was saying, like, that makes you lose energy.
I was going to say, that looks like a big, crazy, super special up.
Oh, she's badass.
Gosh, look at her moveset.
Let me throw this at you. Come back, sir. Yeah.
That's wife material right there.
So it's 2043, and crime has taken over the city in this most post-apocalyptic world. The mayor appoints the city sweepers to take out the villains, and now it's up to you to choose between Zahn, Matt, or Rosa, and fight against strange creatures to find out what the evil corporation is up to. Five bosses and multiple mutated enemies you go up against until you meet Dr. Crayborn in the end.
That was one game they really dropped the ball on by not making, was Fist of the North Star.
Yep.
I remember playing that on Game Boy. I'm like, wow, this is like a fighting, Mortal Kombat style fighting game on the Game Boy before fighting games were like really
Have you ever seen the movie?
I've heard of it. Never.
Ooh, look, now he's all metal and stuff. Bigger,
it's Ooh, like, awesome. Isn't it right up there with Akira for one of the premier animes? Like pre turn of the century?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it would be up there with Akira, but it's definitely an anime worth watching.
Right.
Have you seen it?
That one I have not, no.
Oh, God, you guys got to watch Fist of the North Star. It's amazing.
So, remind me later. I'll write it down. You know, oddly, a really good anime that I need to watch more of. Do you like karaoke?
Karaoke is amazing.
There's this anime based on karaoke. It's called Agretta Suko. It's funny because she has, like, all these anger issues, and she, like, does death metal and stuff, and it's a weird show, but it's... It's like she works at an office with like all these things, and oh man, it's a weird anime. So
what do you got here? Like a slot machine?
I think so.
Fist of the North Star is pure 80s and just gore.
Oh,
it's awesome.
Okay.
I remember we watched Akira. We kind of did a flashback review for an episode of Big Screens and TV Streams, and that was whole.
No, but Fist of the North Star is more like martial arts based.
Okay. Oh, nice.
And like. Special powers, kind of.
Like any specific martial arts style?
No, it's hard to explain. So, but like the guy kicks like that guy that we had on there, he's like, blah, blah, blah! And he'll kick a guy like 3,000 times in 1 minute.
Right.
But then, like, there's another guy, his name's like Ray, and he can make like, so he uses his fingers and he'll create like lasers. And so he'll literally be, like, dicing people up into, like, 30 pieces with his lasers.
Oh. So you ever see One Punch Man?
Oh, yeah, that's dumb.
That it's a weird one. Like, because, like, obviously it's, like, how are you taking out these crazy monsters as being, like, a bald guy? It gets better, but it is a really weird show to get into. Dale, you want to take over?
I think we'll probably, hold off for the next game because we're probably about ready to move on here, but okay. Kind of getting a good feel. What do you guys think of this? There's, Joe, Paul, you guys are busting out quite the, Paul just showed you the manual here. There's so many, it's not just kick, punch, and a throw like a lot of those early brawlers were. There's quite a bit of stuff you can do here.
Yeah, it's got combos.
It's oddly enough, I'd probably buy this if I had an actual Super Nintendo that could play it.
I don't know why it's only one player. This seems... I mean, look at this real estate room you got to work with. It would seem like at least ideal for two players. It's because this is a brawler through and through.
Ooh, got me.
Joe, what were you thinking of some of those unique moves you were busting out?
Pretty cool. Again, it's very... if this would have came out back in the day for Super Nintendo, I would be playing it all day, every day.
All right, well, it looks like you just wrapped up just kind of wrapped up there on that live, so we'll call it on Undercover Cops.
Sounds like a
Love our brawlers here on the show. I think when we come back, we'll take a little bit of a break here. So much more show to come. We'll be playing some more Super Nintendo games in the back half of the show. I'm looking forward to some more of these old school games. But before we do, we're going to hear a word from our friends at Albatross Indoor Golf.
Winter in the Northland means no golf, right? Wrong. Looking to get in a round of golf in a climate-controlled winter oasis? Want to just whack some balls in the virtual driving range and work on your swing? Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club in Grand Forks with more than 90 courses, range venues, and games including Pebble Beach, St. Andrews, TPC Sawgrass, and more. All on an incredibly accurate optical-based simulators from driving to putting. Play straight up. Team up for a scramble. play tournaments, or join the two-person Scramble League. It's fun for everyone, and all ages are welcome, too. Call or text 701-757-3220 to set up a tee time. Check out Albatross Indoor Golf Club at the Columbia Mall, your home for the best indoor golf experience around.
Okay, we are back, and with so much fun, we're just kind of reminiscing on all our old Super Nintendo memories here during the break here. Joe, I know you're about to go into one there.
Well, it was actually something that you were saying with the drag racing earlier and stuff with the that one game, but I was going to take it all the way back to Atari.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember the drag racing game that Dad had
on Atari? Oh, yep. I think it was just called just Drag Racing.
Yeah.
I remember it. Or Dragster. I want to see what it's called, Dragster.
It was a weirdly better game than it should have been. And like it was
some of those
very
Atari
specific.
Games, they I mean, a lot of them are very, very simple. But occasionally, there would be ones that would surprise you, like a Pitfall.
Yeah.
Or even the original Donkey Kong on there. I mean, it did not look like the arcade version one bit, but well, they got Donkey Kong to work on the Atari. They even got Ikari Warriors and Double Dragon to work on the Atari.
Really? Because I don't
remember
that.
They came out really late in the Atari life cycle. Okay. The old original 2600, the VCS, but it's cool just loading up on YouTube. They even got a interesting rendition of the Double Dragon theme song playing in the background for the Atari, and it's like, dang it, they tried. They tried to get Double Dragon to work on the Atari.
Which Atari did you have?
Original.
Because, the original, yeah.
So, because I had two, but one that had four switches for the four games that you could play on it. It had like a wood grain top.
Yep.
And then you had the joysticks like this.
Oh, yeah, that's what we had.
And then next one we had was like the new version, and it was like this black.
I think it was just black, right?
Yeah, it was black, and it looked like, I don't know, it was kind of like sleekish looking, and it would actually take cartridges.
Yep.
Oh,
okay. Nice. Oh, yeah.
That's,
yeah.
I think we had both, technically. He got them at like garage sales, because that was the idea of we're always a system or two behind.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we even got the original Pong. The original Pong unit, you couldn't put cartridges in. It was just Pong.
Yeah, so the original one had like that wood grain top, and that's where you had, you know, Pong, and you could switch between the different games.
Yeah,
like the
different
old
variations
switcher.
Of Pong.
Yeah. But yeah, but the next one that came out, and it was like super high tech, and that's where you had, you know, the cliff jumper and all that kind of stuff, and you'd actually get the cartridge that you'd hammer into the top of it.
Yep. You know? We played Pitfall on that. Combat. The tank battle game. Oh, gosh.
Well, not to get even more off topic, but going back as far as you pretty much can with gaming, do you remember the old IBM that Dad had?
Oh, gosh,
before
yeah.
he remodeled?
He found this old IBM PC computer from the 80s we'd play random games on. Yeah.
You literally have these weird thing that almost looks like vinyl.
So, like an actual floppy disk.
Like, oh, yeah, floppy disk. Yep.
And it was weird because you put it in there. I remember Oregon Trail being the weirdest, coolest game
Dig
at the
Dug.
Time. Yep. And you put it in there and it's like, all right, this game's going to take 5 minutes to load.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you would wait.
Gosh, yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, and everything was green.
Yeah, green and black. Yep. Yes.
Oh, yeah. My buddy had one of those.
So the joke is, because I'm in the middle of moving and all this other stuff, I was getting stuff at Dad's because I got a lot of stuff stored there. And then I'm like, oh, there's the IBM computer with almost everything looks brand new. Because he had it covered, and I'm like, oh, my God, I wonder how much this is worth.
So my friend, yeah, he had, like, his parents had that, and, you know, you'd put in the floppy disk and you'd play the games. But the thing that cracked me up is he actually had a screen protector thing that you put over it that was supposed to protect your eyes from the radiation coming off of the
not like a dust cover but like an actual in theory like radiation protector.
Oh, yeah. That's actually what's probably covering it actually. It's a very official I think there's the IBM logo and all that stuff.
No, you could like lift this thing up.
Yeah.
It was like a windshield.
No,
like, you could lower it down and put it over it.
Wow. It's not that then, no.
Wow. So many cool old school gaming memories. I guess speaking of old school gaming memories, this kind of goes hand in hand with our discussion topic for the week. It was be an advocate for a forgotten or unheard game that you don't hear anyone talking about. And we rarely hear anyone talking about these old school computer games from the 80s or even old school Atari games. So so if you guys want to go that far back or even more in Super Nintendo, like we're playing on today's show, or Genesis, or original PlayStation, or PlayStation 2, N64, any game system throughout the eras, then, you know, games, you know, nowadays you hear a lot of people talking about Fortnite or Rocket League or all the like the big party games like that, or Call of Duty. What games you do not hear people, or just when talking about retro games, playing retro games, you just, or did you just have a special favorite game that you saw at the rental store that you hear no one talk about? Like it's your own special hidden secret, hidden gem game that maybe very few, if any, talk about. Do you guys have any that come to mind off the top of your head?
I'll start because I just got two. One, I got it when I was working at Blockbuster, I'm pretty sure. Or no, it would have been way before that. I would have been in high school, but I'm pretty sure it was on Super Nintendo. But it was the Aliens game where, you know, you're Ripley and you're going through and you're, you know, you're fighting, trying to fight off aliens and stuff. And it was really, it was a lot like, you know, maybe it was PlayStation because it was a lot like Resident Evil.
Oh, nice.
But it was Aliens. And yeah, it was. Like, you'd go into a first-person shooter mode on it, and it was super fun. But another one that comes to mind, and my friend had it, and he actually got it shipped from Japan because I don't think it was released in the U.S., but we were talking about Dragon Ball Z. And there was a Dragon Ball Z fighting game that came out, I think, on Super Nintendo or PlayStation.
It was. I had a ported version on the computer, and it was like, this is way cooler than it should be.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like, the Dragon Ball Z games, a ton of them came back going all the way back to the original Nintendo, but only in Japan. We didn't really start getting them in America until, I want to say it was like the first Budokai game, or I know PS1 really came out late, maybe around the same time as the PS2 game.
Budokai was PS2.
But there's a game on PS1, I want to say, called like Ultimate Battle 22 or something, but it may have came out within the same year of that Budokai game. I remember we played that original Budokai game a lot.
Yeah, the original was pretty darn amazing, and if I remember right, Budokai 2, I'm like, oh... Oh no!
Well, here's a fun brotherly love story here. So here's a fun Dale story and Joe story for you guys. So like twice a year, I would have wrestling pay per view parties growing up at the family. We'd have the pay per view ordering access, so I'd always order WrestleMania and Royal Rumble each year. And so I have like five or six, and this is before WWE Network or Peacock. So, and the WWE pay-per-views, they would cost like 50, 60 bucks at the time. So you'd only order like a couple a year, the big ones, Royal Rumble and WrestleMania. So get five or six people to come over. Everyone would like throw in $5, $10, get some pizzas, have a good time. So I believe this was WrestleMania, the big show of the year, and we're starting to watch it, and all of a sudden Joe's like, hey, who wants to come down and play Dragon Ball Z Budokai with me? And you steal half of my WrestleMania party buddies to go play Dragon Ball Z Budokai with you. I'm like, guys, these are the best matches of the year. Someone else, hey, what game are you playing? I'm coming down too. I'm like, oh, great. All of a sudden I hear in the background, I want to be Goku. Oh, I'm Gohan. No, you're Super Saiyan Gohan. No, screw you. I'm like, oh, gosh. Yeah. WrestleMania party. One I will never forget.
I'm sorry, but
good. It's fun to look back on and laugh on now. But yeah, Dragon Ball Z Budokai. I'll go next. I'll throw out two games here. You know, cool thing about being on the show here, I've been able to bust out a couple of these just to kind of just help raise awareness of them for as best as I can. But Sketchin' on the show, because everyone talks about Road Rash all these years later because they made a bunch of them. But there was only one Sketchin' game made by the same developers, but Road Rash on rollerblades. Awesome game. Glad we were able to play it on the Genesis. Along with Super Volleyball. That's a game you never hear anyone talk about. Super Volleyball, so much fun playing that on the show. But one other new one I'll give a shout-out to is, Joe, we played this on the computer. We actually got this. You guys remember the Scholastic newsletter in school to order books? You know, Joe, you don't remember this? They'd be like, hey, you can order books through the school to take home to read, not check out from the library. But occasionally, they throw in like an educational game in there. And I don't know why they considered this an educational game. Probably because they thought SimCity was. But this is like a spinoff of SimCity called SimCopter on the PC.
Yeah, that game, oddly enough, I
consider it...
I beat the heck out of that game. And it was a weird game.
I consider it... Because this was before like 3D graphics and 3D worlds were really taking off. I want to say right around the time of Super Mario 64. Really, really primitive 3D world graphics. But I kind of consider this a predecessor to Grand Theft Auto before Grand Theft Auto 3 got big with its 3D worlds. Because, I mean, you're not...
They ripped it off.
It's not a... You're not a person. You're in a helicopter. But you're going around doing like Grand Theft Auto 3. Type things. You could get a paramedic helicopter and go on rescue missions. You could be a fire patrol helicopter and put out fires, just like in GTA. You could do the fire truck side missions, the ambulance side missions. You could do transport missions like a taxi. You do all these missions to advance, move on levels, and then even better yet, there's a cheat code so you can unlock a military helicopter and just wreck stuff and blow stuff up.
And it was cool because, like, there's no such thing as, like, in the Grand Theft Auto of, like, having cops go against you. It's like,
I was going to say, did they have cops come after you in SimCopter?
No. Because I remember certain things. You could just do the weirdest stuff.
And there is some dirty stuff programmed into this game, too. Some bad, naughty cheat codes that got uncovered after the fact. Yep. Some very R-rated stuff. It got some developers fired. If you go on a YouTube search, you won't believe some game clips that were programmed into the game that had to get the game recalled and programmed out.
One of the things you could do is with certain helicopters, you can impale citizens and just like fly them around and throw them at buildings. And I'm like, oh my God, this is not.
I guess the school said this was an A-OK game to sell to kids. Yeah. All right, Joe, I'll throw it to you. A game you want to be an advocate for, you hear no one talk about.
For one, we got to talk about Sketching because you weren't specific enough about it for people that might be interested.
Oh, yeah. We played it on the show, but yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so it's rollerblades, but the idea is you're like attaching yourself to cars for speed. That's how you get speed. And the idea is certain cars are faster, and you just try to basically hop from car to car. Weirdly better complex than it should have been. And then like you just punch. I don't think there was weapons.
No, you could get weapons, yeah.
Okay, there
were weapons. Oh, yeah, there's weapons. Got to have the weapons in the Road Rash type style.
So I'll say a game that... Because it's funny because of the talking about getting blind part of the Virtual Boy, Mario Tennis. Also, the Virtual Boy is like,
I'll go play Virtual
this
Boy
for more than 30 minutes or you'll go blind. And I'm like,
yeah, the early wait, now virtual reality sets are doing way better with the MetaQuest and the Oculus and the Vive. But Virtual Boy was like the real first attempt at trying to do virtual reality for the mainstream, and it did not work at all.
It didn't work because like it was like again they had a million disclaimers, but like
even it was
like,
just red and black, wasn't it?
Just
red and
black. But
save on costs.
If I remember, even when you put the game in and it started, it was like a disclaimer that you couldn't pass. But it was like, make sure to set a timer and don't play this
game.
And it was just like, there's a million disclaimers.
Messages would pop up during game every like 15, 20 minutes saying, take a break. You may do damage to your eyes. There are disclaimers on the box. Like, well, the technology was so primitive at that time. So, and like the system struck out bad. It did not sell at all. Nintendo stopped making games for it within a year.
Yeah.
And I think there was only like, 14.
Well, I think it was expensive.
Yeah,
it was very. And like,
well, we got it on clearance. Nintendo got rid of it. They marked it down. We got it for like $20.
Yeah, and it was weird because I remembered it was just like it was like so cheap and so I'm like, how is this so cheap? And it's one of the only systems that we got new, basically.
Because I want to say like 2 years after it out, a store was getting rid of its inventory. Brand new system for $20 and all the games $5 each. So we're like, oh, this is like garage sale
we'll
prices.
Take it all.
Yeah, we'll take it all. Yeah, so Joe, how about a game for you? A game that we haven't talked about yet. That's a favorite of yours that you've played. I know you used to do a lot of old school marathon sessions there on the PS2, Xbox. You played a lot of shooters, a lot of online. Any shooters that you don't hear people talk about much? I know you used to play
SOCOM.
A ton of online. Yeah,
SOCOM was one of the best games ever.
The original, right?
Well, the original, the second was the best. The Confrontation was very enjoyable on the PS3. But like they kind of like it's like an early predecessor to PlayerUnknown's Battleground, which is basically a take on the Hunger Games, which is also a take on another movie, which is
Battle Royale.
Yep, Battle Royale is the movie, right?
Oh yeah, love Battle Royale.
And it's weird because like I will try to keep this to a minute because I could talk about this forever. But like the movie Battle Royale with Hunger Games and a couple other things, that's basically PUBG. They articulate things very well, and I'm assuming you've seen Hunger Games, right?
Yeah.
Forcing people into an area, but they do it by basically poison mist and other things. Well, Battle Royale.
It's more R-rated.
Yeah, it's way more R-rated. It's like, oh, we just abducted all these kids. We put an explosive collar on here. If you don't learn, you should know how to like map all this stuff works, so you know where to rotate. If you don't rotate, we just blow you up.
Yeah,
and I'm like, wow, that is woofta.
You know, there was a game too that, you know, and it could have been original Nintendo, probably Super Nintendo. But I remember, like, my neighbor, he almost killed his dog because it ran by and it unplugged his system.
Oh, no.
Okay. Because there was, like, kind of no save menu back then.
Yeah, because yeah, depending on the game. And
But it wasn't like SimCity, but what are those ones? It was like Ages of Allies or something?
Age of Empires.
Age of Empires and ones like that. And, you build up this huge army, and then all of a sudden he's about to beat the game, and the dog
Oh, no.
Takes out the power cord and wipes out all of his progress.
Oh, gosh.
One of the things I remember about it was the original Age of Empires, possibly the second. One of them had a cheat code for a Corvette, basically, or some sports car that just shot missiles.
You do, yeah. Playing this medieval fantasy game and all of a sudden just have a cheat code. Here's a Corvette that's just firing rocket missiles at medieval armies.
Just blowing everybody up.
It's Paul, imagine you're watching Shogun, and then out of nowhere, Corvette with missile launcher. Boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
And then it was the next one or the same one. There was a cheat code for basically a Starship Trooper guy that shot lasers. And it's like, hey, I'm just going to... And just everyone died. And I'm like, oh, well, that's cool.
All right.
But those games where you would like build up civilizations, though, those are fun.
Yeah, well, those are a blast. Age of Empires, Civilization, fantastic, phenomenal games.
So Dale probably remembers this. So Age of Empires, if you really like it, have you ever heard of Stronghold Crusader?
Oh, yeah. That was one of your favorites.
It is the most in-depth version of Age of Empires. You have to... So like in Age of Empires and StarCraft, you're only getting like one or two, three minerals, right? Or like gas for StarCraft, minerals, and was there another, I believe, right?
Could have been another resource, yeah.
Stronghold Crusader, you have to do food. Hey, guess what? We have like 10 or 15 foods. You can make cheese. You can make bread with wheat. You can harvest wheat to make the bread. You can get... It's so excessively like obnoxious. But it's one of the games that taught me a lot about business. You have to literally run an entire empire. You can also run it on fear. You can run it on religion. There's like, you can literally build temples and have Buddhist monks. They have even things like spacing, right? Mm-hmm. If you're too crowded, people don't like you. And I'm like, wow,
this game. You get really, really in depth. There's another game that's tearing up steam lately that, if you like Stronghold Crusader, you may want to look into a game called Manor Lords. It's been getting a lot of buzz. All about you kind of, it seems to start off like a medieval version of SimCity, you know, kind of deal with finding ways to construct your town, and you know, you make a blacksmith, make a tavern, and have a church, just build a medieval town from the ground up. Then all of a sudden you get a notice saying, oh, a huge enemy army is coming, they'll be here in a year, and then you have a year to build up and amass an army, and then it turns into an Age of Empires type battle simulator. So you have half city constructor, half, you know, medieval Age of Empires style, just battling. So it's doing gangbusters on Steam right now.
You should text me the name later.
Write that down for me so I remember.
I'll text both of you guys.
Because that's the weird thing. So Age of Empires, it's very specific, but you remember like you could build walls and a gate, right? Mm. In Stronghold, you could build walls, a gate, a moat, like oil things. You could put oil things to throw over if they're coming at you and set it on fire. You could have war dogs and cages to send out the enemy. Like it was...
What system was this on?
PC.
Oh, okay.
And it's odd, but Age of Empires, a game could take a couple hours. It could take less. It could take Stronghold Crusader. I've had games that have lasted over a day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's weird because it's that extensive. Because the cool thing about it, I think Age of Empires was the same, but you could see everything going on everywhere. And or you could also turn on Fog of War. So Fog of War was only if you had scouts and stuff placed places, they would see it. You could even build your own armor and arm your own guys a certain way. It was like, hey, do you want knights? Well, go hire, go mine like ore and this stuff so you have metal to like make armor. You can just hire mercenaries. Mercenaries were cheaper, but they were nowhere near as skilled. And then the joke was you could have a slave army. It was a bad joke. Literally, they just have like a little...
Gosh, yeah.
They're moving rocks.
But... No, there you go. I texted you guys the info there, so with the trailer for the game too, so you can look more into it. Cool. It looked really cool. But we got to move on, unfortunately.
I hear you.
Hey, we want to hear about your guys' favorite kind of unsung heroes for the gaming world, of hidden gem from any era in gaming. Comment in the questions below or comment in the chat room, and we'll make sure to react on the next episode. We want some of your recommendations on hidden gems, hidden favorites that you don't hear much love of over the years, so we could spread some love next week. Got some noteworthy new releases that will be hitting over the next couple of weeks here. Going to run down those real quick. I think we talked about this before. It came out on PS4, and later a Director's Cut came out on PS5. Ghosts of Tsushima Director's Cut. That's going to be coming out on PC. Sony is starting to release their exclusive PlayStation games on PC now, just starting to trickle them out. That's coming out on PC this weekend. Also, speaking of Blizzard, we talked about them earlier. They're re-releasing some of the older World of Warcraft games. So they're re-releasing the expansion Cataclysm Classic. That's going to be coming out in a week. Hellblade. That was a big game from about a few years ago. Big time kind of action narrative-based game. They're having the follow-up for that, Hellblade 2. That's coming out to PC and Xbox on May 21st. World of Goo 2. The first one was a huge, huge indie game on the original Wii. Huge downloadable game. Then the long-awaited sequel, like over a decade later, World of Goo 2, a Switch exclusive, at least initially, on May 23rd. Finally, Multiverses. If you like your Smash Brothers type games, they had a beta release and they pulled it down after several months to get, you know, retool and rework based on the beta data they got from players. So that's coming back out an official release on PC, PS5, and Xbox Series X on May 28th. So those are your noteworthy new releases. Any of those stand out to you guys?
Not really. Honestly, that Manor games. Don't,
yeah, Manor Lords.
Probably.
Check it out. Yes. All right. So we are going to wind down. We'll play a couple more games to wrap up our Super Nintendo coverage with. Guys, you know I'm a wrestling fan. So
let's do it.
I picked a wrestling game for us to play here for my pick here. So it's booting up now, and it's even a four-player game. So,
well, you know the joke, Dale, while it boots up, I'll bring up a memory lane. Do you remember No Mercy?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we played it on the show here. Actually, I think we played the like WrestleMania 2000.
So here's the funny thing, Paul. So I'm really good at a handful of fighting games. Dale cannot beat me at Mortal Kombat, and he cannot beat me at No Mercy, basically. I ruined the game because I learned like you can customize all your moves and stuff, right? Like in move to moves, like kind of like Mortal Kombat, how they did certain things at certain, well, depending on the Mortal Kombat you play. But do you remember, you know what I mean, right? Like you can change certain moves so you can like lean into moves, just kind of like martial arts.
Yeah.
Well, this game did the same, and it was weird because it was on N64. And then I came up with a broken combo. I could literally take on all, like this was back in the day when it was like me, Rich, and Dale.
Oh, yeah. And, our old gaming crew.
Yep. Yes. It was very specific for timing for reversals and stuff. And I'm just like, I was taking all three of them on at the same time. And he's like, this is cheating.
You're just Joey, you would pick one of the girl wrestlers and May you would set her weight to like 500 pounds, even though she did not resemble that at all. But the game, that kind of had like a body physics engine where if a wrestler was registered as weighing over a certain amount of pounds, the wrestlers would struggle to body slam them like they're body slamming Andre the Giant. They'd have an animation that would make it look like they're just throwing their whole back into it. So we try and body slam Joe's like these created woman wrestlers that Joey would make, and it's
guy wrestlers
or Mae Young.
That's the joke. Yeah. They kept on giving me crap, and I'm like, I'm gonna pick the worst wrestler, or what should be the worst wrestler in the game. Mae Young is like this old lady and stuff, and I'm like, I'm just gonna slap you, slap, slap. I'm gonna slap you, slap, slap, and it works. And I don't know why, but because again, she was terrible. Basically, if you got her in a good couple grapples and you got a good couple good moves, she was just instantly like terrible because they made her that way in the game. Like she should be. I hate to say it because you know you're an old woman wrestler and just an old wrestler in general would not like. Ric Flair is the odd exception, but if you're old and you're a wrestler and you're not in shape, because like they even had like wrinkly squint like skin, if that makes sense, like animations on her, and. But for whatever reason, her slap did an excessive amount of damage. And I'm like, so slappity slap, 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 slap. And it was just, they got mad at that because it was just like, how are you?
Yeah, I used to just dominate people in Soul Calibur because I would just, I would know how to just juggle them. You know, you just hit them five times when they're on the ground. The minute that they get up, you sweep the leg and you just do it again.
Yep. And that's the thing. I think it was more, it's been a minute. But like Mortal Kombat, it's one of them that we're playing. I think it's 11. But yeah, I can customize stuff. It's insane.
All right, come on. Now the game's not having issues of the game not loading. Boo!
Nah, it happens at times.
Yeah.
Hey. Dill, don't follow the instructions. Blow on it.
Yeah, that's what I should do.
Because I love that on those cartridges. They're like, don't blow. Now, to be fair, moisture can affect it. So it's like, don't spit on it. But, yeah.
All right. So, come on. Eighth time's a charm. Here we go.
Whoop. There you go.
No, that's kind of part of the boot up animation.
I was going to say, I'm like, is it glitching out?
It's a little dragged out. All right.
There you go.
Hey, there we go. Eighth time's a charm. So wherever we, I was testing this out yesterday. It was giving me some error messages saying recognizing the multi-tap as a Super Scope controller.
Sure.
But I thought it was because I was using a different controller. This turbo pad, so I didn't make sure not to bring it with, But
I remember the turbo pad. Yeah. That was insanely legit. Our Mortal Kombat controllers.
So we can only do two players, but I was thinking we could do a Royal Rumble mode. We'll just kind of put do easy difficulty just so we could cruise through this.
Sure, sure. Actually, you know, fun fact, Dale, about the Mortal Kombat controllers? You remember those. You still have both, right?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I, through a random YouTube search, I figured out how to convert them to work on the Xbox One.
Oh, in the current systems?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you ever want to, I'll try to get that too.
Gosh, yeah.
Because it was weird. I just, one day I was like, huh, I wonder if there's any way to do this. And then somebody figured it out finally.
All right, well, I'll be Big Daddy Cool Diesel. Joke. Is it this controller or this controller?
Uh-oh.
Or this controller? This controller.
There we go.
There you go.
All right.
Go through the roster. This game came out in 1994, so you can see all the greats of the... this would be the new generation.
The 1-2-3 kids from Minneapolis.
Superstars. Yeah, from the Twin Cities. Yeah. Better known as X-Pac.
Yeah, no, I know.
Or 6.
But that's... I was surprised at that because I didn't know that.
So
I like the NWO. That was it was good.
Yeah, good old NWO. All right, Paul, we're doing a Royal Rumble here.
Suck it.
My multi-tap adapter is giving me error messages on, so we can only do two players.
Heck? It's not working.
What?
Well, give me a second. I was trying to.
Can you move?
Nope.
Yep, I remember this game.
Oh yeah, Joe, you're standing on the outside of the. Oh yep.
I'm trying to figure out the controls.
So, yeah, the only bad part about this game is they were button mashers and a half.
Yep.
So, yeah. The first one, Royal Rumble, was a lot of fun. Just because it was the first time they did a Royal Rumble game on consoles. Oh, Joe, you might have mashed the start button.
Yep, not bad.
So, yeah, it was so cool. They did a lot of improvements in here from... Joe, easy on the button mashing. You're button mashing the start button.
I didn't press the start button that time.
Likely story. But I'm Big Daddy Cool Diesel. Paul, or Joe, is 1-2-3 Kid. Paul, did you have a go-to wrestler from this time?
I can't remember the wrestlers from this time. But, I mean, what did you have? Like Lex Luger and Hitman Hart, all those guys?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep, they're both in here. Yep.
Was it Lex Luger?
Who's the Lex Luger, he was big. The Lex Express.
You know, I have an odd appreciation for Bret Hart. He was kind of like the I'm a rock star guy, and it was oddly better than it should have been.
But yeah,
Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase.
Yep. Is the Road Warriors was probably, like, for early people, they were probably my favorite.
Oh, yeah, everybody loved the Road Warriors.
It was such, like, a silly Mad Max thing, I guess. Or whatever it was, but it was it was cool.
Yeah, you weaken the wrestlers up here, and then you can. I'm gonna try too in this game too. This is one of the earlier games where you could do your finishing moves too. So you weaken the wrestlers up, you do their finishing moves, and it'd be like.
You know, it was a bad generation for wrestling games. The PlayStation 2.
Oh, yeah? You didn't like the PlayStation? The SmackDown game? Those are pretty good.
Almost every single wrestling game sucked,
Dale. Hey, there we go. Jackknife Powerbomb.
Like, I know the graphics were good, Dale, but, like, because Dale bought, like, a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
They all sucked for controls.
What? No, no.
They all sucked.
They were fine.
They were graphically nice, but they all sucked.
Hey, there we go. Shawn Michaels is eliminated.
I think, to be fair, I'll say there was, like, one or good one. Or two good ones. Because they had this weird stuff of, like, story and back. Like, so, you know, like, the... There's a joke about wrestling to some degree. It's like a male soap opera.
Oh yeah, it's showmanship.
Exactly. No, that's why I say it that way. It's a joke, but it's showmanship 100%. But the idea was like all the how they do. I don't think they do it as much anymore because I don't.
Mr. Perfect.
Oh yeah, Mr. Perfect was awesome.
Oh no, that's 1-2-3 Kid. That's Joe's guy.
Oh, come on. Kick him. What I was trying to say is, like, all the trash talking of, like, when they go to camera and, like, this guy is like, oh, you're sleeping with my girlfriend and all that weird stuff. Well, no, it's specific, but, like, there was one or two of those games on the PS2 that, like, they had all that storyline, and I was like, this is weirdly better than it should be.
Oh, I just whiffed. Joe, did you just get tossed out?
Nope.
Oh, it's Undertaker's in now. Paul, you want to give a shout out to Undertaker? The dead man cometh.
Oh, can you get me on hook there?
Oh, yep, there you go.
Because I'll even actually, you know, I'll bring up a game that does, two games for wrestling and fighting that deserve more mention than they should. Do you guys ever remember, so it's ICP, Backyard Wrestling?
Oh, gosh, yeah. Backyard Wrestling. I love, we played the crap out of those two games. The second one especially.
Yep, and that game was like, no, ICP, I'll just say a very ignorant band. The song Miracles, very good, very catchy.
Oh, gosh, Miracles.
But the lyrics to it are so ignorant.
You are all over the place.
No, they're like, because they talk about science and stuff, and Dale, I know I have many degrees. But they talk about, like, why does my son look like me? It's a miracle. It's genetics.
But yeah, Backyard Wrestling, we played a lot of it. Great, great combat fighter. Because that game, it also had a killer soundtrack.
Right. Well, and there's even a joke to it. So, like, y'all ever watch the show Workaholics?
I know. I've seen, like, an episode or two. Yeah.
They have an ICP episode.
Oh, yeah.
Where they end up going to an ICP party, which, now, to be fair, it's, like, not to say, like, the their fan base and all that other, not to say there are, you know, maybe they just did the song that way for a reason. But when I heard that song, I'm like, oh my God, these lyrics are killing me. But they did an episode where it's kind of funny because, like, they do this thing with the show of Workaholics where they end up doing business and this and that and hanging out with them. And they're having a good time. And it's a good time, right? Everyone's having a good time. But then they do this thing of, like, it turns into gang violence at the end of the episode. And I'm like, oh no. And then they're like, oh no, never hang out with them. Like, it was kind of funny and dumb.
But gosh, yeah, yeah. So, Joe, you kind of went on some crazy branches there. To another there.
Yeah.
Oh, Backyard Wrestling with ICP. Oh, hey, let me talk to you about ICP's music library and their fan base. Oh, well, hey, let me talk to you about the show Workaholics.
I'll even give them credit, though. The show, or the song Homies.
Music, that was in the Backyard Wrestling 2 theme song.
But the music video, again, this, like, so they do good songs and bad songs. So no one's perfect, but I just really hate the lyrics to Miracles.
And that's Joe's soapbox on Insane Clown Posse.
Exactly. Hey, you're all right with me, but, like, I don't like those song lyrics. Again, well, you know, catchy song.
To bring back to wrestling, Insane Clown Posse, they still run their own independent wrestling league, Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
Very cool.
Yeah, there you go.
Because, again, I don't have anything against them. It's just, like, I don't like those lyrics.
Joey.
ICP is trash fire.
Yeah, they've actually had stints in, like, almost all the major wrestling promotions throughout the year. A couple months here, a couple months there. Oh, you got the Final Four. Paul's in the Final Four with The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Paul's The Undertaker. He's taking it to Bam Bam Bigelow. Just eliminated Bam Bam Bigelow. Final three, Yokozuna and Razor Ramon. Paul has to dethrone here to become the Royal Rumble winner. Paul, did you play these? You said you played these games way back in the Super Nintendo Genesis days?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, these were button mashers in the half, and especially if you have the difficulty even put up to like 4 or 5 out of 10, you will get what people call Nintendo thumb.
Yeah, no,
I definitely got that.
I remember that as well. And that's the last game, actually, that deserves mention. Do you remember Def Jam Vendetta?
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was a fun one, yeah.
Because, again, like all those games had their own things, and like the story mode was way better than it should have been, and like, again, Backyard Wrestling with all the weird weapon attachments and all the things he could do. It was a prime time for fighters.
Wow, Yokozuna, huge atomic drop to the Undertaker. He's woozy, folks.
Woozy?
I have no idea what I'm doing.
Well, you're throwing some people out there. If you are button Alva grapple is their finisher, so you can do a tombstone pile driver. But if you have them in a grapple too, Y button in a grapple when they're towards the ropes, that throws them out of the ring.
Okay. I remember Yokozuna's thing was so
down though.
Yokozuna's thing was so weird because it was like awful and terrible.
The bonsai drop?
No, when he sat on people's faces.
Oh yeah, that was a bonsai drop.
Oh, so that's okay. That's what it was. And I was just like, oh, don't do it, don't do it.
You know who Yokozuna is a father of for current wrestlers, right?
No,
the Usos.
I have no idea who that is.
The Usos, great longest reigning tag team champions in WWE history.
Oh, nice, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, surprise, Yokozuna was not really Japanese. But yeah, that's it.
Done, sure.
We'll call it there. But yeah, WWF Raw, blast from the past.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, love it. All right, guys. Maybe one more game to wind down the show. Maybe just do a quick 5 minutes with, I don't know, Joe or Paul, do you got a pick? Or should we just wrap it up with some good old school? Or Joe, you say you got to kind of wrap up here?
Yeah.
Joe's got to be somewhere. I was going to see if you want to do a quick round of Street Fighter to wrap it up, but yeah, maybe we should wrap it up here.
Yeah, we've already played those on other shows.
Oh, yeah, but love to bust out the Super Nintendo here on the show. Always great times. Before we wrap up the show with our last segments here, we got some quick words from our friends at EyeSight Drone Services.
What can drones do for you or your company? iSight Drone Services, the first private drone company in North Dakota, provides information in the fields of agriculture, critical infrastructure, wildlife management, insurance, and emergency services so clients can unlock the value of efficiency of collecting data and imagery with unmanned aerial vehicles and are always looking for more ways to help business and people. 29 pilots, 17 commercial manned pilots, over 30,000 hours of combined flight experience. Construction, wind turbines, cell towers, oil fields. Unmanned aerial vehicles save time, money, and manpower. iSight Drone Services, the first private drone company in North Dakota. To find out more, call 701-740-9652 or email info at iSightDrones.com. What can iSight Drone Services do for you?
All right, we are back. Big shout out to iSight. And Joe, I know you got to kind of get going here, but I just want to thank you for coming on. It's always a blast playing games and just talking, especially old school games, revisiting our favorites.
Right. And I could talk for days and days and days about certain games.
Yeah. So any of these Super Nintendo games that really stood out to you the most?
Undercover Cops.
Yeah, that was a new one. That was a new one to play here. That one looked like it really pushed the envelope for brawlers there. So
yeah, very interesting graphics because, again, it's a Super Nintendo. It's like, how did you pull that off?
And then real quick, what's your favorite Super Nintendo game of all time? We'll leave you with here before you head out. Putting you on the spot. We've played a bunch of them over the years.
Probably True Lies.
True Lies, yeah. That was a fun one. I was thinking of bringing that with. I got that in my bin at home. But, that was fun, especially if you accidentally shoot the hostages.
Yeah, and it was... There's many layers to that game. And it's like, wow, you guys did all this programming. You did all this. I'm like, oh, my Jesus.
Gosh. All right.
Because that was the joke via Hugo's, I think I mentioned earlier. I rented that game. I don't remember how many times.
I remember we rented it quite a bit, yes. All right, Joe, I know you got to get going. Thanks for coming on, man. Yep. This has been a blast. I want to give a shout-out to some GFBS plugs for some other shows that have been happening this week here. Chuck Breen, the brother of acclaimed local artist Ben Breen, was on the GFBS interview on Monday to discuss the upcoming benefit for Ben next week, with all proceeds going to help Ben's battle with cancer. Make sure to check that out. Great cause, great interview. Dirty Thursday yesterday interviewed two feature winners from the first night of the race season at River City Speedway, interviewing NLRA late model driver Brody Trafgrubin and NOSA sprint car driver Jade Hastings. Finally, Fork Sports Highway last night featured Monty all riled up over his Yankees and New York Knicks as Monty and Bill recapped the week in sports. Those are just a few of over a dozen shows we broadcast each and every week. You can find by searching GFBS on your favorite podcast or social media app. Also, GFBS, stay tuned this weekend. We're going to be doing some Throne MMA coverage, right, Paul, at the Lair Center, it sounds like?
Yep. Let's see what goes down.
Yeah, it's going to be cool doing some coverage there at the live fights here this, I believe, Saturday night. So stay tuned to GFBS for your MMA coverage and, even interviewing some MMA fighters this week, too. So we'll wrap it up with some quick takes like we always do. Paul, been gaming or up to anything our big weekend ahead?
No, I've just been busy looking forward to the fights this weekend at the Alera Center. It was cool talking about some old school games, going back to that Vikings game. Because it's kind of silly at the beginning, you're in that like spaceship thing, but the game gets a lot better as you progress through it.
Is the mechanics really unfold and unveil themselves, and the puzzles get more expansive, and it gets to be quite the brain teaser.
Yeah, and you start to get into caves and that kind of thing. That makes a lot more sense.
And if you're looking for more recent games like this, like I mentioned earlier, I don't know if you've played any of them. There's five of them. They're still making them as recent as this past year. Trine, five of them, and like they're backwards compatible, I believe, on Xbox. You can find probably even the earlier versions really, really cheap. So we're on Steam also. So.
All right.
There you go if you want more good modern incarnations of Lost Vikings. So as far as quick takes for myself, really taking in the sports, I've been rooting for the Timberwolves. They dropped first time they lost three games in a row all season were in the playoffs. So, and then they had the big game six last night. Then Twins, they've been very hot and cold in recent weeks, had that great 12-game winning streak. And then Monty, definitely hurt from him. The Yankees getting the best of the Twins. Otherwise, playing a lot of Horizon Chase Turbo, finally. Almost wrapped up with that game's career mode after. I've been kind of really stuck to that one. I'm like, you know, I'm going to finish this career mode. Played that show a couple times a couple years ago. Awesome, awesome arcade racing game. Great modern-day incarnation of Top Gear. And then also Pinball Arcade, just revisiting all great. It just replicates old-school arcade tables in video game form. I've been playing Big Buck Hunter Pro, a pinball table from like 2013, 2014. It's just so much fun. And Control, still worked my way through that game. Great game from the makers of Alan Wake. Great single-player action game. And I'm finally getting the hang of it, finally making some good headway. And yeah, big weekend plans, big weekend of races ahead. Doing some visiting with my sister at going to make the trek to Fiesta City Speedway later today, and then be back on Saturday for Devil's Lake Speedway action there. So the race season is in full swing, and I love it. But Paul, unless you got anything else, I think we're about ready to wrap this up.
Yep, no, we should be good.
Okay, well, we want to give many thanks again to today's sponsors at the River Cinema 15 and the Shire Bar and Grill, Albatross Indoor Golf, and EyeSight Drone Services. Many thanks again to my brother Joe for coming on. Many thanks to Thrill Seeker Paul.
Oh, yeah.
And we'll give a big shout-out to Katie. She can't be here joining us today. You know, she's tied up today, but we will give her a big shout-out as always. She'll be back in 2 weeks. Make sure to like, share, subscribe, and follow GFBS on all the social media and podcast platforms. We will see you all in 2 weeks. I think we may be doing a whole new different version of the Retro Throwback Gaming, or we may bring it back to some more current gaming. We'll see what 2 weeks in store has for us. Until then, have a great weekend, everyone. Goodbye.